Suppose I could tell you when and how you're going to die. That the information goes like this. Next Tuesday, you'll be driving on the interstate highway. A car going the opposite direction will be driven by a man who suffers a fatal heart attack. The car careens out of control, crosses over the median, and in front of your car. Fortunately, you see it coming and are able to hit the brakes. And you think you're able to stop in time, except directly behind you is a tractor-trailer truck with a very heavy load. In an attempted panic stop, the driver puts the tractor-trailer into a jackknife, and it comes sideways down the highway behind you, crushing your car, turning it into a ball of flame, and taking your life. Now, if that is correct information, how do you respond? Do you respond with fear? Do you respond with sadness? Do you respond with excitement? Do you respond saying that life is going to be dramatically different for the next couple of days in anticipation of the day you're going to die? Or will you live life exactly as you would otherwise live it? Or are you going to walk out right now, go get in your car, and drive as fast as you can to northern Ontario, where you are going to hide out in the woods and stay as far away as you possibly can from every interstate highway until the predicted date goes by? Let me tell you what Jesus said and did. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We're going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Jesus clearly knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was destined to die. He knew when it would happen and where it would happen and how it was going to happen. In fact, this is not the only prediction. It is one of seven that say pretty much the same thing about his death, which raises for us a huge question of how Jesus could know the future. How could he know with such specificity exactly when and how and where he was going to die? Because there were other times in Jesus' life when he seemed not to know the future. When his followers would say to him, "When are you going to come back? And when are the predicted events at the end of the age going to occur?" And he said, "You know, I don't know. I don't know. Only my Father in heaven knows the day and knows the hour." Jesus wasn't saying that the future was not knowable. Obviously, it is. God predicted the future, did here, did many times elsewhere in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Predicted the future in specific ways that have actually happened, that have been fulfilled. In fact, most of the prophecies in the Bible have been fulfilled, and there are still others that are yet to come. Apparently, when the eternal Son of God, who knew absolutely everything, became human, when he came to earth, was born on Christmas Day, he took on him human limitations. So there were things that he could previously do that now he could do only with the consent, the specific consent of God the Father. He set aside for a time the independent use of these divine attributes. Maybe you saw this past week the CBS miniseries on the life of Jesus. By the way, it had enormous draw, even better ratings than if you want to become a millionaire. So I think that's good that Jesus is more popular than being a millionaire. And the screenwriters for this miniseries struggled with what is an age-old struggle, and that is how to portray at both the same time the deity and the humanity of Jesus. For there is a long history of those who have so emphasized the humanity of Jesus that they have somewhat ignored the deity of Jesus, or others that have so emphasized that he is supernatural that they have neglected that he is and was as human as all of the rest of us. It was because Jesus was supernatural that he could know the future. But knowing that future about how and when and where he was going to die had to be dealt with as a human, as a man, had to be dealt with that information as we would have to deal with that information. Now, I've wondered exactly what you have wondered. I've wondered what it will be like and when it will happen and where it will be when I will die. Might it be a week or two from now in some ball of fire? Or will it be when I'm 107 years old and in my sleep? Because if I could know that, that might impact the way I'm going to live between now and whenever that date may be. If I knew for sure that I was going to die soon, perhaps I would clean up my act, I would change my life, I would behave in a different manner. Or maybe if I knew that I was going to live to be more than a century old, I would put things off. I would assume that I can take care of matters not now, but then. The truth of it is that every one of us knows for certain that death is a probable part of our biographies. It's what we expect. From the time we are born, we come to expect death. We shouldn't be surprised that death happens. And we shouldn't put all that much importance on when and where and how, because that is really less significant than the reality that death is our eventual destiny. We, like Jesus, are going to die. Jesus knew it. He knew more details than we know. And he faced difficulty with courage. The truth is, he was up against a difficult death. He says that he knew that when the time came, he would be out of control, that he would be handed over to the Gentiles, that means the Romans, who would take control of his body and all of the circumstances around him. For a Jew, that was an especially difficult thing to happen, but that's hard for us. You know that one of the great fears of having your life taken over by someone who assaults you or by a terrorist or even in certain situations with acute or chronic illness where medical people are making decisions that normally would be your decisions or family members are making your choices for you. That's a terrible sense of helplessness. Most of us dread that, and yet Jesus knew that he would be out of control. And he knew that he would suffer from both spiritual and psychological abuse. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him. How many times do we say, it isn't death that I'm so concerned about, it's the way that I'm going to die? Who of us wants to die in the hands of those who are making fools out of us, humiliating us, spitting on us, insulting us in every possible way? His was truly a cruel and unusual punishment. He knew all of this and that he would be flogged and that he would be crucified to death, and yet he faced it all with courage. There are different types of courage. There is the heroic courage of the battlefield or the accident or the potential drowning out at the lake by the cabin. It is that courage that is triggered within a single instant. You don't know when it's going to happen. You can't think through what the consequences are. You simply dive into the water. You run across the battlefield. You try to save someone else's life. That is different from the type of courage or heroism that is decided in advance. That is when you know the consequences. You can think them through. You can anticipate what they will be like. This is the person who volunteers to go where there is rampant disease or into a war zone. This is the person who offers to donate a kidney. This is the person who says, I will give away my life savings to help someone else, knowing that I will spend the rest of my life scratching and saving and living in poverty. It's that kind of advanced courage that Jesus demonstrated. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what it was going to be like. He knew that he could run away. He knew that he could have changed his mind. And instead, he went straight to Jerusalem. Enormous courage. And you know, as Christians, we too can have that kind of courage. Because all of us face hard decisions. We face illnesses. We face all of the opposition and criticism and dangers and death itself.
But we can do it with courage, not because we're smarter, not because we're stronger, not because we're better than other people, but because we have the same resources from God that Jesus had from God, that God can and will be there for us, that he can and will be the center of our being, the source of our strength. Number one, giving to us the courage to face whatever the difficulties of life may be. One of the reasons for Jesus' heroic courage is that he faced death with hope. He predicted that on the third day he would rise again from the dead. So he just knew that the ultimate victory would not belong to the cross or to the tomb, but to God. Not because God had sort of pre-programmed resurrection into history and into Jesus' biography, but because God would supernaturally intervene, that he would overrule death and bring him back to life again. So Jesus faced death knowing two amazing truths. On the one hand, he knew the terrible power of sin, and on the other hand, he knew the awesome power of God. The terrible power of sin is a frightening thing to know. You can't help but have missed in the last couple of weeks all of the news stories relating to these worldwide computer viruses. The more potent being this past week, although not as widespread as the less potent I love you virus of more than a week ago. A virus that allegedly started in Asia, probably in the Philippines, and is said to have done billions of dollars worth of damage to computers and to information systems all around the globe. Interestingly, it seemed to start so innocently. Here you get an email from someone probably familiar to you because you were in that person's computer address book, and it says to open the attachment that says, "I love you." And so you click it with warm feelings and excited anticipation, only to discover that your screen does all types of bizarre things and that it has deeply corrupted whatever you have on your hard drive, and not only that, but accessed your address book and sent the same virus without your choice or control to all kinds of other people who are your friends and relatives, acquaintances, and business associates. And that it will do the same thing to them, all very much like sin. That seems to start so innocently, so attractively. And then when opened, thinking that everything is under control, goes in a bizarre fashion out of control until it starts to corrupt and destroy whole pieces of your life and then contaminates the other people with whom you have a relationship. Jesus knew that. He knew what sin could do. And he knew that all of its awesome power would be downloaded on him when he would be crucified in Jerusalem. He knew that. And I would suppose if he knew only that, he could not have moved ahead. But he also knew about the awesome, awesome power of God. That God can restore what has been destroyed, that he can replace life, bring life where there has been death. That he can be the ultimate victor even when it seems that there is no good thing that can happen. That he could and would directly intervene to overrule death's consequences and bring about life and resurrection. So the point is clear, that Jesus faced difficulty with courage and death with hope because he knew. He knew that God would raise him from the dead. And the same goes for Christians. There is ample record that one of the amazing things about Christianity in the early centuries was that Christians died differently, that their deaths were different from all of the other deaths that were seen in and around the Roman Empire. And I will tell you that the records of some of them are just horrible, that Christians would be dipped in pitch and set on fire and put on poles so that they would be the torches for gladiatorial and other games in Roman cities. Other things that are just hardly describable and unspeakable. But that the executioners would watch how Christians would die and that many of them converted and became Christians. It's an interesting quote from an early church historian named Tertullian, who said that it is the blood of the martyrs that is the seed of the church. For when the Roman government tried to stamp out Christianity, it discovered that the more Christians that were killed, the more people became Christians. It was that they died differently. They had hope. They had courage where no one expected it to be. And the same can be said about Christians all the way until today. For me, one of the unanticipated surprises of being a pastor has been sharing in the news and the experiences surrounding the deaths of Christians. I can tell you that there have been too many times when I've gotten in the car to drive to someone's home or to a hospital knowing that that person was dying and having this rotten feeling deep in my stomach that I am totally inadequate to say or do anything that will be helpful for them, and praying for God to somehow give me something to say and do. And then after visiting with them and driving back, being filled with this sense of awe, not that I have helped or been a blessing, but that I have been helped and that I have been blessed. For I have seen people who otherwise you would think would be fearful, instead being peaceful. Those that you would anticipate would speak only about the past, who talk continually about the future. Those who are not frightened by death, but anticipating the good that is yet ahead. It's an amazing thing, the power of Jesus Christ facing the difficulties and even death itself. And so while it is true that none of us know when we're going to die or where we're going to die or how we are going to die, it is equally true that we know for certain that we will live again, that we will share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that God will provide for us the help, the grace that we need when the time comes. But when that's said, many of us think to ourselves, I don't feel that. I'm frightened that when I get there, I won't be anything like what you have described. In fact, there are many things in life that frighten me. I worry about them continually. And if and when they come, I fear that I will collapse under the weight of the difficulty that is mine. But let me tell you something that is no secret. It is that God provides that help when the time comes. That the promise of the Bible is that there is no test that we are ever going to face that God will not provide the grace, the goodness that is sufficient for whatever we are up against, but that we don't get it until we get there. Now, I assume that that was true for Jesus as well. And so when he anticipated what he was going to be up against in the city of Jerusalem, it was not then that he received God's strength and help and grace to deal with it. It would come later, when he was actually being spit on and insulted and humiliated and flogged and crucified. So how did he get through it at the moment? Well, he had a faith and a confidence that God would be there for him. That when the time would come, God would help him however he needed to be helped. And so it is for us, that we can have that confidence and faith in God that he will provide for us whatever resources we need when we face whatever we will face. Jesus knew what was coming. He faced difficulty with courage. He faced death with hope. But his followers, they couldn't understand. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. They were in complete denial. They were convinced that Jesus would use his supernatural abilities to break the back of an empire, to become a military leader, to sit on the throne of Israel, to solve all the problems, and they would be in his inner circle. Not to be crucified, not to die this terrible death. They just knew it was going to be another way. And so they couldn't hear what he was saying. Now, we do that. We all do that to some extent. We go into denial. I was talking just this past week with a man who was telling me about a circumstance in the office where he works. There's a coworker whose job performance has enormously deteriorated over the past year. They say he's paranoid, he's undermining office morale, other people are having to do his job or correct his job. and that he's been called into the boss's cubicle several times over the last 6 months, telling him about the problem, describing it to him, and telling him what he needs to do to change, and warning him that he will be fired if this continues. Then this man was telling me that a couple weeks ago, his coworker was called again into the boss's cubicle and told that he was fired, that he was finished, that he was being relieved of his responsibilities. He said he walked out, sat down in the chair next to the desk of the man who was telling me the story, and said, "It isn't so much that I'm being fired, it's that no one ever told me. No one ever warned me, no one ever offered me a chance." And he said he could hardly believe the words he was hearing, that this guy had just filtered out everything that had been said. By the way, we sometimes do that in connection with death as well. So Grandpa has a terminal illness, and he sits in the family room chair, or maybe he's in a hospital bed, and everybody gathers around, and he wants to help the family. And so he says, "Now, I know I'm going to die, and I don't have very much time left." And before he finishes his sentence, someone interrupts him and says, "Oh, no, Grandpa, don't you say that. No, don't you talk like that. You're going to be fine. You're going to get all better, and we're going fishing this summer, and we're going hunting this fall, and we're going snowmobiling next winter. You're going to be just fine." We just refuse to hear. We just deny because we've already made up our minds. Well, Jesus' followers, they just didn't understand. They didn't really listen. They didn't believe that he knew what he was talking about. As Christians, that's a dangerous thing to do. There are Christians who say, "Oh, I'm sure that God told me this. I'm sure it's in the Bible somewhere." The truth is that we can so make up our minds about the way we want things to be and that we imagine they should be, that we also, like these followers of Jesus, turn a deaf ear and do not hear what he speaks from his lips. If you watch television in our central time zone at 7 o'clock on Saturday nights, maybe you see a network series that's called Early Edition. The character in that weekly drama is a man named Gary Hobson, who receives a day ahead of everyone else an advance edition of the Chicago Sun-Times, delivered to him by a cat. Now, it's not a true story, just in case you're concerned about that. And so that means he always knows the news and what's going to happen before it actually happens. And usually it's some catastrophe, and this poor guy who is just exhausted spends 7 days every week running around the city of Chicago trying to change things that are going to happen. Well, Jesus gave an early edition to his followers. He said, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." Except Jesus didn't intervene to change what he knew was going to happen. He went straight ahead into Jerusalem to face difficulty with courage and death with hope. What for them was prophecy is now for us history. But there are also from the lips of Jesus predictions for us. One of them is in John 16:33, where he said, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus predicted that our world and our lives would have problems and difficulties, suffering and death, but that as Christians, we can and will have peace, courage, and hope, because we can have the absolute faith and confidence that no matter what we ever will experience, God will be there for us. He will provide whatever we need, help and hope and life. Eternal life. So even though we don't know the details about the future, we do know God, and we do know that he will be there for us. For that, our Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are our God, that you care about us, that knowing the future, you will be there for us, that you will meet our every need, you will give to us all of the strength that you have on our behalf, that you will provide help and hope and courage all through Jesus Christ our Lord.